26, 2005. We're continuing with our interview with Pat Rankin. We're talking about utilities, getting the laundry done. And you said that your mother used a washboard, and that she went to the wringer washer from that, and that it was a gas or diesel operated machine. Gasoline. What do you know what day she did laundry?
I don't know if it was always on Monday or not.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because everybody else in this county has told me that laundry day was Monday, but I'm just verifying as I go along from person to person. Sounds like it was Monday.
I think it probably was. Now, in the summer, it might even have been more often. On a farm, boy, there's lots of dirty clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And, so she might have done it even more often than that.
In the summer.
Well, I don't know how she did all of those things that she did. She had cooked in those logging camps, and so she was an excellent cook, and she was fast.
Could cook for large groups too.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those logging camps, they cook for maybe 80 people per meal. And three meals a day. She could, like for a breakfast, she could whip out a platter of biscuits. I don't think it would take her 10 minutes to put the biscuits together, flip them in the oven, and then, there was always ham or some kind of pork and eggs, and there could be hotcakes. That was just in the morning.
And this was out of her wood stove, her wood oven.
It was a wood stove.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And your job was to keep the wood for that stove going? Did you have to empty the ashes out of it too?
No, sir. She took care of those ashes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why that was. Maybe the safety of it. There had to be some planning to, had to be at a time when there were no live ashes in it, so it had to be between meal cooking, maybe on a day when, maybe that even was Sunday, when there were maybe only two meals, and so it was long enough there when that stove was out of fire that all the ashes would not be hot.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any other chores? You said you had to make sure the wood was going. What other chores did you maybe have to do?
From the time planting time came in the spring till harvest was over in the fall, I did not all the work by any means, because they both worked in the garden. But I whole weeks, I usually did well the weed hoeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then dad always raised, well, at one time, I know he had this whole place in Alfalfa. And that was a, well, that was a big job, putting up that much alfalfa, because it was all by, strictly by hand, except mowing it and raking it. That was machine, but it was all shopped. It was loaded onto a wagon that was unloaded with a derrick and a Jackson Ford, either into a stack or into a barn. It was quite a project there.
What does it mean when you say it was all shot?
It was, you know, a dump rake. You ran over the mowed hay after it had cured with a dump rake, and that would just gather it up, and then when it, there was enough hay in the dump rake, you'd hit a foot lever, and that would bring the tines up, and then dump the hay right in. And then you'd form long windrows. You'd be watching off to one side, and when you were even with it at the right point, you'd hit the foot pedal, and so it ended up being a long windrows. Then you would go along with a pitchfork and pile it into shocks. And then it would finish curing. The moisture would leave it down to a certain point. And then a pitcher would stick a pitchfork into it and lift it up and set it on a wagon, a hay wagon, hay raft wagon. And there'd be somebody on the wagon too to place it, you know, kind of bind it all together, and also drop it down, so you could get quite a bit on it. You could get probably a ton of hay on the wagon.
Who were your friends and playmates? Did you have any out here when you were growing up?
Oh yeah, there was a pretty large family. A Bannerberg family lived right across the river from it, and I started school the same time one of those boys, started grade school. There was John Beeson and Lowell Chandler and Bob Stein.
These are some of your playmates?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That lived around here?
Yeah, they all lived locally. Mm-hmm. We didn't get a chance to get together much when we were all like up through the grade school. We all had things to do when we got home, and so it wasn't like you could go right next door to play on a Saturday. If you didn't have something to do on the farm, well, you might be able to go to their place for, you know, 2-3 hours, and then come home, or vice versa.
What things did you do?
We played baseball. We would fish. That was a big deal to fish. Or hunt. Hunt birds, in the wintertime, ice skate.
Where?
sloughs, the where it was still still water, it would freeze over, you know, smooth. Why, that's where we would go ice skating. I never did, we were right by this Grand Long River, but I never did, the folks didn't, wouldn't let me skate on that river much because you never knew when you might hit a soft spot or a spot where it really wasn't frozen over thick. So, wasn't really all that safe. But on the sloughs it was. And we'd have a great time on those sloughs, even at night. In high school, why, we'd have skate parties. That was, developed a lot of good skaters too out of that.
How about, did you go to church? Did you have church services out here when you were young? Where did you go to church?
Yeah, they did have some. It was like traveling ministers, really, in a church right over here. But my dad was not a church goer. And my mother was, and always was, a devout Christian lady. And she knew her Bible, too. After she left Wawa, really, where she was raised, she never was a regular church goer. She couldn't unless she walked, and my dad wouldn't necessarily take her, or us kids either. There were, along when we were in high school, there were buses. That was the first any related to church rather than schools. But I don't know. We did go some, but
let's move into high school then. What year did you graduate from high school?
1945.
And you went all through 9 to 12 at LeGrand High?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was it a 9 to 12 high school then?
Yep. Wait a minute.
Was it 10, 11, oh. 12? Seems like that a junior high. Yeah. Then.
Well, there was a junior high, but we had gone, and we did, this Iowa City did not have a junior high. So we went the first 8 grades here, and then we went directly into high school. But that was 4. We went 4 years.
At LeGrand High.
Yeah.
What else do you? Okay, so we're going to finish off today by talking about high school. So you entered high school, no school bus then?
Nope.
So how'd you get there?
No. In fact, there were no school buses for grade school or high school up through 1945. And I don't know when I know it was after that, the first school buses.
Mm-hmm.
And how did I get there? Well, it was either the bicycle or riding with a teacher who lived in Cove and taught in the high school at LeGrand, or I got a student permit to drive the car.
Now you said that happened, you were 14 at that time?
I was 14.
So then did you drive?
I was 13 that fall.
Mm.
because of my birthday being in October. I don't know why I started in the first of the year, because we planned on it that summer.
Are we talking about your freshman year now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, the sophomore.
Sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it was 3 years.
Then you drove from that point on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you told us what you drove. So, what about high school? What kinds of things did you do?
As I recall, in those days, they pretty much laid it all out for you, what you were going to take. There were the requireds, and there weren't many electives. In fact, if we had any electives at all, I think when it came to, you had to take some math, but you didn't have to take all of them. Like, I took math every year through the senior year, and I know that some did not.
Mm-hmm. Or music or sports or?
I was on the track team. I ran the mile on the track team. Not music. I didn't pursue music at all. Although I still had that trumpet, but they had an organized band, a high school band. A good one, really. Always had a good band teacher.
Let's see. How about language? Did you study a foreign language?
I did not. No, I never did, but some kids did. That was German or Latin used to be, or French used to be a popular languages until World War II started.
German disappeared, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you didn't study a language.
I did study a language. Nope.
What kinds of, what was a class day like going to Le Grand in your time? What was the routine?
Grade school, where we stayed in one room the whole day long, we would move approximately once an hour. We would move to a different room, and of course a different subject. And then there was the old study hall that was in the school library, or it was right beside the school library. They had FFA band, and it was they had a separate building for you. But you know, I had all the firing that I wanted in those days, right there. And I didn't pursue FFA in any shape or form.
What did you do instead?
I took those science courses, and I have one study hall the rest of it, I remember I had to take English.
Yeah.
And I just loved English. I didn't mind the reading part of it. I liked that. But, gosh, I hated that grammar stuff and writing. I I ran into that very same hang-up when I got down to Oregon State. That if they were going to give me a degree, I had to have so many hours in English. Part of that was writing, part of it was grammar. And I didn't have time. I mean,
why?
Well, because I was also taking chemistry there, and math, and they were just, besides that, I wasn't interested in it.
Did you belong to any clubs or any other school organizations?
They had a Tiger Highlights. Tiger, let's see, what was that?
The school paper?
Oh yeah, I was on the school paper. Yeah, I wrote for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I could do that.
That writing didn't bother you.
That journalism part, I liked that. And I also, because of doing okay with that at the high school, at Oregon State, I took I don't remember if that was a 2-hour or a 3-hour journalism. That was a cinch. Got a good grade.
Mm-hmm. How about social activities? What kinds of things did you do when you were in high school?
I did not go to, I think the first dance I ever went to was like the senior prom, or I might have gone to the junior prom. I didn't go much for the, dating the gals. They were okay. Didn't have any real problem, but I just didn't get all that enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. I'd rather hunt or fish.
Is that what you did instead in the early days of high school?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also farming. Bob Stein and I, the day school was out, we usually got out in the morning, but you have to go in for whatever.
Yeah.
For a couple hours. And then we would, this friend, Bob Stein, and myself, already have all of our fishing gear and camping equipment together. We would go, we had a train depot right over here in Idle City.
Mm-hmm.
Steam engine, and a regular passenger run. A passenger run went to Joseph and back in one day. And we would go to Joseph and go to a place called Goldie's and have something to eat in Joseph. Mm-hmm. And then we would walk up to the lower end of the lake where there was it was an old cabin. It was a roof. And we would fish for yanks for 3 days. We'd eat everything that we caught the first 2 days. And then the third day's catch which, by the way, was, what, 60 fish?
Huh.
In those days. And then we would bring those 60 fish back home on the train. We'd have to, we'd walk back down to Joseph and get on the train and get in here in the evening.
And you did that every year at the end of school year?
Yep. Every year for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
We did that.
Just you and your friend Bob?
Yep. Just those two. Later, he got a long ways up. And it was called the Oregon Game Commission. ODFW was the Oregon Game Commission, and then there was the Oregon Fish Commission. Well, he got up, well, not quite on top. He was one of the top six in Oregon before he retired.
How long did it take you? Was it a day trip to get to Joseph from here on the Stephen G. train?
That would take about 6 hours.
Each way.
Like we would get on that thing maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember. And it'd be just afternoon. When 8, that'd be 4. I can't believe we got up there in 4 hours. So it was pretty fast until you got to Elgin. And then from Elgin on, it was pretty slow till you got to Wallowa.
Yeah.
And then Wallowa to Joseph was a little faster.
Did it go directly to Joseph, or did it go through Enterprise?
Well, it went through Enterprise, yeah.
Did
yeah.
it stop in Enterprise for a while?
Yeah. Yeah. Passengers to get off or get on. And also, let's see, mail. That train back to mail, too. All over mail. Freight. There were regular freight trains that... there were 2 or 3 freight trains a day. That's when there was still bales, lots of bales, sheep, cattle. They used to have cattle trains and sheep trains too.
In addition to these passenger trains.
Yeah.
Was it expensive to take this train?
I can't tell you the dollars it says, but it was a band, not all band. It might have been, a dollar and a half.
Would that be
for
round trip?
Round trip ticket.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Like that train.
Then what happened to the fish when you get them back to Island City here?
They cook them right away.
Your family would consume these?
Yeah, Bob would cook them. We would salt them up there. It's what we caught. We get up real early and catch those fish, salt them down, clean them, salt them, and then get down to that train station. And then they would let us put the fish back where you get on to the car.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't heated. And those old conductors were good. They knew what was going on.
They were helpful to you, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Now they understood, but we were taking a bunch of fish home.
This is a test. We're continuing the interview with Pat Rankin. Today is October 27th, 2005.
Okay.
Okay, so we were talking about high school days, and you were telling me about you and your friend headed over to Willow Lake at the end of the each school year. What other kind of memories do you have about high school? You said you weren't, you didn't date much.
No, that's true.
Uh-huh.
Something I did forget was the roller skating.
Okay.
There were several of us that were just really crazy about roller skating, and actually fall, winter, and spring, we used to roller skate at the high school gym in Cove, and probably every Saturday night. Not every Saturday night, but boy, very often, at least during the school year. And then finally, they got a skating rink here in town. It was, well, there used to be a dance hall called the Zuber Hall.
Right.
On Washington Street, really close to the center.
And we're continuing our interview with Patrick Rankin, October 27, 2005. Okay, so you were telling us that you used to skate and they opened a rink at the Zuber Dance Hall. Go ahead.
Okay, and then the covered wagon was on the west side of Baker City. Baker then wasn't Baker City. They also had a skating rink in there.
What was the covered wagon?
It was, it was a municipal, I'll call it meeting place. Well, a lot like the armory in the Grand. Only, as far as I know, it was never an armory. It had a wood floor, which was good for skating. None of the schools that had a gymnasium would allow roller skating on those basketball floors.
Right.
They were rough on those.
How was it that you were able to skate in the Cove gym then? Was that a basketball gym?
They did play basketball in there, but that school district held still. It was it was looked at as a sport and something for the kids to do if they did play basketball or volleyball or something like that. So there were a lot of kids. They used to have so many up on that floor. Sometimes you could hardly get around.
Was that an expensive hobby to undertake?
No.
Was it cheap?
I can't remember now, but it was like 25 cents for 7 o'clock in the evening till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And everyone, or a lot of us, at Cove, they did not have a skate rental, a shoe skate rental. So you had to furnish your own shoe skates, but nearly everyone right around here who liked to skate had a pair of good shoe skates themselves with the approved wheels on them.
And so then you made the rounds of these skating places, is that?
Yeah, we did.
That's what you used to do on your weekends?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to the one at the covered wagon in Baker more in the summertime. there was no freeway to Baker City. It was the old highway up Piles Canyon and through Dartmouth, Haines, and it took about 2 hours to drive to Baker.
How did you get there?
In a car. Well, you mean the route?
No. Car. Did you carpool, or were you driving by then?
It would usually be, yes, I was driving. We went up there after high school, too. In fact, we roller skated even after the Army.
Into your adulthood?
I have been off Bear States now for 25 years, probably. But up till then, I think the last time that I did roller skate was up at the lodge. I don't think they call it the lodge at Willow Lake. There's the lodge, and then there was another public building up there that had a pretty good floor.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it either, but I can see it. I know what you mean.
It's right at where the
The gondola tram. Yeah. I was up there recently, but I don't remember what it's called. Did your wife roller skate?
Charlotte did roller skate a little bit, but not much.
That wasn't her hobby.
It was not her hobby. She ice skated several times in Portland when she lived in Portland. And the last time she ice skated, she broke her wrist. And that was the end of skating.
She didn't skate anymore after that.
No.
So what other things did you do in your high school days as you were getting ready to go to college? What kinds of other social things, activities, or even not really an activity, what other kinds of things did you do?
Boy, I can't think of any, Michael.
How about,
besides what I've told.
Okay, well, how about drive-in movies? Were there any of those around?
Yes.
Did you do that?
I forgot about drive-in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We used to go. I can't remember when they built the first drive-in movie, but my cousin and myself, Jerry Binger is my cousin, and I used to stay at his place every chance I got, and on Saturday afternoon, when we were, 8 years old, partway through high school, we used to go to the Saturday movie when we could get away with it, Saturday afternoon. The Granada Theater had the Western movies then.
What do you mean when you say when you could get away with it?
Well, his mom and dad owned a grocery store in LeGrand. And we'd have to all stock shelves and sack potatoes and apples and pears and do some chores. Oh, go with the deliveryman and take groceries into to the homes of people with. A lot of groceries were sold by phone order. On Saturday, there were two deliveries a day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And sometimes there were so many orders that couldn't do it in one delivery in the afternoon, so there would be a couple of them. Well, that afternoon we probably couldn't go to the movie, but we'd get real busy and do our part before, say, movie time. Then we'd run down to the theater, see the movie, get back in time to go with the driver, delivery wagon driver, to deliver, you know, the last round. And it'd be anywhere in LeGrand that we would take those groceries.
What was the name of this grocery store?
Joel's. Joel's Grocery.
Joel?
Yeah, J-O-E-L.
And where was it located?
On the corner of Washington and Cedar Street. Well, the last operator of it was my cousin, Jerry Bigner. The name Joel was my dad's sister's married name. And that's where the Joels...
You mean their last name was Joel?
Yes.
I see.
Yes, her Cora Joel owned. And her daughter, Vera Joel Bentner, operated that store. Well, it would take me. They opened that store in 1910, and the last operator, Jerry, it was probably in about 1975 when it really became rough to compete with the supermarkets.
And what's there now? Do you know what's in the location now?
Well, it's a dwelling. Oh. They, in fact, Joel's and Bigner's lived on all of the top story of it.
Oh.
And then all of the first floor in the basement was the store.
Now, did you get paid to help him? Or were you just helping him out so you could get to the movies?
I didn't get paid, but I got paid in lots of ways, really.
Paid
for the movie. It was limited. They had a good candy counter. And they sold ice cream.
So you might get paid in trade then, rather than cash.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it wasn't an agreement, you know, that it was, usually almost always when I would go there, it would be on Saturday, no school, Dad, and sometimes Mom would go to town for groceries, the things that they needed. They raised most of their stuff, but there were some things that they did buy, and so they would go to the store and, of course, visited with all the relatives and get the groceries they wanted. And then if Jerry and I could talked my mom and dad into letting me stay that night, nine times out of ten, Vera would bring me home the next day, that Sunday. My
Vera was your aunt?
She
mother.
Was my cousin, too.
Oh.
Vera was my first cousin. And Jerry was my second cousin.
I see.
Jerry is Vera's only boy.
Was that considered a, when your parents went to town, was that a trip in those days?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's only a 5-minute drive now, but...
It was probably that day only that that car even went to town. And it might be spread out over, it might be 3 weeks between that car, you know, going to town. Or even over to Isle City. But yes, it was. Once in a great while, we had mother, had a sister, and her family lived in Pondosa. They worked in McCollum's mill up there during the Depression. And I can remember going up there, but that was an undertaking in a way. You know, it was a long ways out of town.
Was it an all-day trip?
Oh, yeah. Well, it would take like maybe, I'd say it would take at least 2 hours to drive up there. Maybe a little longer. When we went up there, it was 4 of the day. Maybe once in a great while, mother and I and my sister would stay up there, say overnight or for a day or two, and then dad would come up again and bring us home.
Does that mean your mother didn't drive?
She did not drive. No, she never did get a license to drive. And and my dad, he didn't have a license to drive either until, man, I don't know when that was. Maybe during the 30s, that you could drive a car without a license then. I know it was that way in the 20s. I also remember another relative who lived in Wallowa County. His name was Scott. That name might be familiar to you. He had a lifetime driver's license that he acquired from Oregon in the late 20s. A policeman, I don't know exactly when this was, I'm going to guess it was right after World War II though, stopped Herschel for some reason, nothing that amounted to anything. And of course wanted to see his driver's license, and Herschel showed it to him. And the state policeman told him that the license was no good, and that he really didn't have the driver's license.
Oh.
And Herschel, of course, pursued it with the Secretary of State. It was Earl Snell was the governor at that time. He was Secretary of State at that time. And the state wrote a letter to the judge in Wallowa County and the policeman that this man did have a valid driver's license, and those that he did not have to renew, and there was nothing anybody could do about it.
Amazing.
And he held that license till the day he died. And they never questioned him again about having it or not keeping. They didn't send him a renewal. His daughter lives in Hermiston now, and has for a long while. She can tell you all about it.
So, what other places did you, as you got older, maybe got ready to go out of high school, did you do any other social things? Did you go to town and do other things? We've talked about the skating rink and the drive-ins and the grocery. And,
Michael, I told you a little bit different yesterday. I really didn't tell you the complete story. We used to go to the First Christian Church at the old church building on Tam and 7th Street. That's before they built the new church on Tam and 7th. No. It's 4th.
It's between 3rd and 4th because it's right behind my house.
Oh, you live right there?
Yeah, I live about a block and a half away from it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And okay. Now that's, you were saying, though, that's the church that you've attended?
Yes. Then, when, I was probably Mom took us there, my sister and myself, was when I was like 6 years old, just right after start to school, and we might go eight or ten times during a year to that particular church. Mother had been a lifetime member of First Christian Church in Wallowa. And of course, she was really active in that church. I was baptized in the present day church in 1978. And then Charlotte had joined the First Christian Church in about 1975, and our youngest daughter, too, had joined that church.
And you've been a member ever since?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, we sure have.
This is a popular church in town. A lot of people I've interviewed belong to that church. Yeah. What things have you done in that church? What have you held office or?
I held the office of elder for 2 terms, I don't know how many terms that I've been a deacon. Probably 6 or 7 terms at least as a deacon.
What does an elder do? What is the job of an elder?
Well, it is to be concerned about and to look after the needs of anyone, really, in the church, especially those who, you know, have a real need for widows, people who have run on to some, circumstances where they're just not capable or taking care of themselves completely. But they need help. And that's primarily what an elder also responsible for spiritual nourishment of many people in the church, those that are housebound, an elder takes them to communion. We observe communion at least once a week in our church, and there's almost always several people who communion is taken to their home, if not their home, a nursing facility, or even the hospital.
How about the job of deacon? What does a deacon do?
Well, okay. There's lots of church functions that we are directly involved with. One of them would be church dinners, where we help set up the tables, work with probably everything but the food, the gals, some of the guys too, help prepare the food, and and every Sunday it's an honor really to serve to the congregation that's there, the communion. And there's usually a team of eight deacons serve the congregation, and they also collect the tithes and the offerings that same service. They may usher people if they need an usher to a CD. There's always a need.
Were you around when they, were you present when they built the new church in its new location?
Charlotte and I were not. I was, when they started building that, the present located church, I was in college and had just got out of the Army. And so I wasn't here very much. And then when they built the sanctuary itself, they finished it the year that Charlotte and I moved to Washington. And so we were not in this particular church from then until after we came back from Washington. But, gee, we, of course, have known people in that church for a long while.
Who are some of the pastors that you can remember since you've been a member of that church in the 70s?
Since the 70s?
Well, your affiliations. You can remember any of them.
Would like to go back to,
sure,
Gene Robinson.
Do you remember him?
Yes, I sure do. He was a great person. Everybody loved Gene. Not that they didn't love you know, the subsequent pastors too, but he was very, very special. Then there were a couple pastors that I didn't know very well after Gene, and then came Jack Hart, and Jack and Phyllis, and the third two girls, and they were very special to us too. To me, they were just very special. Then, of course, there were several interim pastors, the three of them, before Scott Pricer came. And then after Scott came our present, after a couple of interim ministers, then came our present minister, Mark Schlesman, his wife Heather, and they have three children. And they've been real special too. We've been blessed with a lot of really good pastors, ministers.
I guess it's time to move on to college here. Okay, so you graduated from high school in 1945.
Yep.
And then you did one term at Eastern Oregon College of Education then. It was still a teacher's college.
Yep.
And how was it that you only did one term here and then transferred to OSU?
Well, I went, before the term actually was over, I was inducted into the Army. And 2 years later is when I went back to college again. But then I went to OSU instead of Eastern Oregon.
Was there a particular reason for that?
Well, I wanted, by then I made up my mind that I wanted to get a degree in agriculture. One of the ag schools is where I wanted to get a degree. And of course, Eastern at that time was a teacher certification school only. That's the only degree you could get. In 1948, the only degree you could get was in education.